you were here last week, you know we spent our time looking over the six different challenges that I have given over the last 6 years at the beginning of the year. And each challenge was to do what? Just a little bit more of something than you did the year before. So we talked about reading your Bible, praying, being neighborly, giving, sharing your faith, and stepping out in faith. So sharing and stepping out. Now, all pretty basic sounding Christian things, but the reality is if you're not doing those very basic Christian things, it's kind of hard to grow in the deeper Christian things. And so it's the challenge for us to be consistent. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many of us are consistent in all those areas. But I think it's really clear from God's Word that He's asked us in our daily walk to continue to be more and more like Him, to do things little by little to become more like Him. So this year, our challenge is to do just a little bit more of something that will help us to grow in an area that we need to grow in our spiritual walks. And that could be very different for every single one of us. So if I was asked for a show of hands, how many of you need to grow in some area of your life? It could be personal life, your work life, your family life, your spiritual life. I would assume that every single one of us would raise our hands. And if that's true, then you're in the right place this morning. But is it enough just to admit that we have to do something to grow? The only way that we're going to grow, to get better, to advance, is to work on those areas in our lives that God has revealed to us, or maybe other people have lovingly pointed out to us. So really the question is how do we know what things we need to address in our life? How do we know what is the very specific thing that God wants us to do? And if we're honest with ourselves, there's at least one, if not many, things that we could work on. So the question is, where do we start? What is the most important thing for us to address first? Now, it's easy to make change, right? Everybody just loves to make change. Everybody says, let me sign up. Why is it so hard? Why do we struggle with trying to make changes in our lives? Well, number one, we have to admit that we have a weakness. We have to admit that there's something in our life that we need to do. There's something that needs to be addressed. If you've ever been around recovery circles, what's the first step? Came to believe that I was powerless over alcohol, drugs and alcohol. In my life, it became unmanageable. Everybody loves to admit their life's unmanageable, right? But until you do that, you can't take any steps to address that. Or you might say, I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to be seen by anybody as someone who doesn't have my stuff together. If I have to admit that, then people might look at me and say, Wendell has got issues in his life? Can you believe that? Don't answer. Don't answer that. What if people knew that I have problems? Or what if I have to admit that I can't figure it out and I need help? That could make me feel like I'm weak. That could make me look like I need somebody else. What if other people knew about this area in my life and they would say, ooh, I'm not hanging around him anymore. I don't want to have to admit that I've got something. And then maybe you might not make a change because you say, what difference would it really make? What if I do these things, is it really going to make a difference? If I start praying, if I start reading my Bible, if I start treating my wife better, if I start doing whatever it is, will it really make a difference? I don't think I'll see it right away. And that's probably true, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So whatever the bad reasons are, once we finally get over that and we make this decision, what is it that we need to do? What do we do? Well, I think that's where we need something to help us to figure out what we're going to do, because on our own, we usually can't do that very well. We need something that's going to help us to assess what kind of help we need. Now, assessment in our life is nothing new. It happens all the time. If you're in a job, you have a job assessment. They tell you where you're good. They tell you where you're not so good. We do it all kinds of different ways. So I have a couple examples this morning just to help us to see how we do it in other areas of our life so that when it comes to our spiritual life, it's not all that different. So let's say you wake up one morning and you say, I am out of shape. I am so out of shape. I look to my toes and all I see is this island of something that keeps me from seeing where my toes are. You're tired of being in pain. You're tired of waking up tired all the time. You can't think as well as you could usually think. You're depressed more than you usually are. You're more depressed than you normally are. And you can't keep up with the kids and the grandkids. You go, I have got to do something. I am out of shape. I want to enjoy my life to the fullest. I want to live as long as I possibly can. So what do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my DVR on. I'm going to DVR all of Dr. Oz, Grey's Anatomy, ER, MASH, and don't forget General Hospital. And I'm going to be a very in healthy shape kind of guy, right? Or I could just Google my symptoms. I do not recommend this. Google it and say, oh, there's what I got to do. Because WebMD told me I got to do it. Or you could say, I need to talk to my doctor. Why would I do that? Well, that's a great question. This morning, I'm going to invite Dr. Cynthia Elkins to come forward. We know her as Cindy. Would you welcome her this morning? And I have a few questions for her, and I'm going to gown up here just a little bit, just before we start. Would you remind me if I turn around, because you know how these things work. These are better than the paper ones that don't tie, I'll tell you that. I think they're the worst ones in the world. Cindy, a couple questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Why is it important to meet with you as a doctor if I want to be healthy?
So, Wendell, I'm a family physician.
Okay.
And I take care of everybody from birth to death. I do prenatal care. I don't think you'll need that.
Nope.
I deliver babies. And as a primary care physician, I really would love to prevent you from getting sick. Preventive medicine, I would love to find that melanoma, that cancer, when it's a teeny tiny spot, mm-hmm. and get rid of it,
yeah.
before it bothers you. I would like to find your blood pressure while you don't even notice it. You don't feel it, but it's already causing damage to your heart and your kidneys. I would like to know what your cholesterol levels are. You can't feel your cholesterol levels, but they may be clogging up your arteries. All of these things,
okay.
I can help you find.
So what is it that you would do then to figure all these things out? I'm assuming you're going to take a history.
I might, you know, make you take all your clothes off, which is really kind of annoying and
yeah,
obnoxious
very,
and scary.
Very, very, very.
And, but that's how I see those little spots on your back where you can't see them between your shoulder blades. And how I listen to your heart, because all that clothes gets in the way.
Yep.
So I can hear your heart and your lungs, and I can check your pulses, and then I might do some blood work. I might check your urine and make sure there's no sugar in mm-hmm. it, because you don't feel that high blood sugar that's clogging up your arteries and making you sick until it's making your vision blurry and making you drink and pee all the time.
And you do that because there's no way I could know that on my own.
Right.
Right. And I can't, like you said, I'm not able to feel my blood pressure or cholesterol.
Not until it's too dangerous.
Not until it's too late, exactly. So what are the risks of not having somebody assess my health? Because I could go on WebMD and I could go on all those other sites.
Well, with our broken system, Wendell, I see a lot of people that way who have spent 5 or 10 or longer years without seeing a doctor. And then it's a lot of work. And then, unfortunately, we find things that are scary.
Mm-hmm.
We diagnose that cancer and it's stage 4.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of time left and mm-hmm. we really can't attack it
yeah.
well.
So I need help to be able to figure out where I'm at. And then you will put a plan in place to help me to figure out what steps, that like taking my blood pressure every
yeah.
day.
And taking your vitamin D.
Taking my vitamin D. Vitamin D. Okay. All right.
We get a lot of lake effect and not a lot of sun on our skin around here. Just about every patient I've ever seen in central New York, if they're not eating D, they're deficient in it. So go get your vitamin D.
All right. So it is a good idea to get assessment and then take small steps at moving forward to get healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we thank Dr. Elkins for being here? Okay. We need another physical. Who wants a physical up here? Come on down. Well, another area that we do this in is in the area of once you get yourself approved by a doctor and they say it's okay for you to start working out, you want to get into an exercise plan. And if you look at the beginning of the year at all the gyms that are out there, you see the increased numbers of people that are signing up. So this year was one of those things. My dad died at 58 years old. I'm 58 years old this year. I said, I don't really want that plan. I'd like another plan. And I decided I'm going to do something. So I went down to Anytime Gym in Manlius, which is right down where the Little Caesars used to be. It's right next to the ice cream store in Manlius. And OIP is going in with great wings. So, and what I did is I went in there, and I don't know about you, but you walk into a gym and you see all those machines and you see all that stuff. You go, what in the world are you supposed to do? And so I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire a trainer. So I want you to welcome Brad Olden. He's going to come up with me this morning. A little story of Brad. It was when I was the Sunday school teacher in Crossroads for the junior high. Brad was one of my students back then. Little did I know that when, and then because I called on him a lot, now he hurts me a lot as, so I wanted to sign up. And so when Brad, when someone comes to you and they sign up to gym and they say, I want a trainer, what's the first things that you do when, you meet with somebody? How do you help them to know what's going on?
Okay. So, start off with an assessment. We're going to run you through the basics, your core, your upper body, your lower body, kind of see your balance, where you're at, if you're tight in any areas, and then we go from there. So we've been through this before. Why don't you get down into a plank?
Plank. So, yeah. Okay, here we go.
So you're going to hold that while I'm talking.
Okay. Push-ups? Push-ups? You want some push-ups?
So right here, we're testing the core.
Yeah. Real short
it's obviously
now. This
stronger now that you've been working with me, so we're getting there.
Okay.
From there, I'm going to test your upper and lower body. Being a couple washed up army guys, we're gonna go into push ups to the army cadence though.
Okay,
so,
ready?
Ready?
Yep.
Down. 1, 2, 3, 1, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, that's good, right? That's good. Yeah.
So
you do that, and why do you do that? Why do you try to figure all that stuff out?
So we're going over the assessment first. Kind of come up with a plan of attack to go from there. So your workout program
steps. I want to bench press 250. I want to walk over that machine. I should walk right over and do it, right?
No, that's wrong. You're wrong.
That's why I need
you. You're gonna ding yourself up. We want to start off maybe just some push-ups like there. Mm-hmm. Building up basic chest strength. Then you want to bench 250. We're going to work our way up. We're going to start with like 90 pounds, then 100 pounds, 110, so on and so forth, working our way up.
So what is the benefit of that is I see progress.
Exactly.
Because I can't do it all at once. I'd be bummed out if I couldn't do it all. But if I do a little bit, then I can move forward. And if I didn't do that, what's the consequences of not working a plan?
Well, for your case, you want to bench 250. You're going to come in, slap 250 on the bar. You're going to get under it. You're going to get the bar off the rack, and it's going to come down on your chest. Hopefully, I'm there to save you and pull it off of your chest. But yeah, injuries, that's a big thing. People don't know what they're doing. And that's the purpose of a personal trainer coming in with a plan.
I know when I first started doing push-ups, the next day I died. I was hurting so bad. Now I do push-ups, I don't hurt. Right. So in the beginning, I didn't feel like I could do anything.
Exactly. When we started, he was doing like 5 push-ups and he was done.
No.
But now, what did you say you did?
I did 30.
30 consecutively.
Yeah.
So that's a big...
All right. So working a plan is very, very important. And assessment is really, really important so that you can move forward. Can we say thank you to Brad this morning? Thank you, man. You give that to Steve, would you? All right. Push-up contest after service here. All right. So what does that have to do with anything? Why in the world are we doing that? One, I hope it helps you to remember why we're going to be doing what we're going to be doing for the next, almost passed out, 6 weeks. why would we do that? I think it's clear to me that every one of us are very different. You look around the room, we look different, we are built different, we are in different places in our lives, but we all need to be able to know where we're at. We need to figure out what God wants us to do, and what he wants me to do is probably different than he wants you to do. And we need God's help to figure that out. And when we look into God's Word, if you spend any time studying it, it's very clear that he wants us to be constantly examining where we are and what's going on with us. Our coming to faith as a Christian, when we come to faith in Christ, that's a great start, but it's only the beginning. And God tells us that we are to, in one place, he says, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You don't work for it, but you work it out, you develop it. Peter says it like this, 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may, would you read this with me? Grow up in your salvation. And if you're not doing anything to grow up in it, it's going to stay pretty static. It's going to sit there. It's not going to grow. And of course, if you're a Christian, your sins are forgiven. You can say with great confidence that you're going to go to heaven and all those things. But God never intends you to stay there. I know I've said this illustration before. You imagine what kind of marriage a couple would have had if they stood before the pastor or the justice of the peace. They said their vows. They're pronounced as husband and wife. But then they never talked. They never spent time together. They never dreamed together. They never laughed together. They never planned for their future together. Yes, they're married. They've got the ring on and they're married. But what would that marriage be? It wouldn't be good. A marriage, it takes work. Amen? Amen. And marriage, it takes effort. Very much. It takes a lot of growth by each partner to be able to enjoy what God has brought together when a man and a wife come with all their differences. And the same is true of our faith. It's not just getting saved. God wants us to grow and to develop, and it won't happen by itself unless we take steps to do that. He wants us to grow for ourselves so we can be more like Jesus, so we can understand God more. But then it's not just for us. It's so that we can have a relationship that will show the world who God is and the difference that He makes in our lives. And the Bible speaks of it over and over and over again. I want you to listen to these verses that I have listed here for us. And listen to what it tells us about growth or about examining ourselves. Lamentations. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Haggai. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. The psalmist in Psalm 139, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Galatians 6:4, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Comparing is never good. Then Ephesians 5, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So what is it saying? Examine. Give careful thought to. Test your actions. Be careful how you live. Just think back last month. How much did you do that in your own walk as a Christian? And if you're like me, it just, the days come and the days go and we don't think about where we're at and where we might be able to grow. Socrates said, an unexamined life is a life not worth living. It's a life is unexamined life is not worth living. I believe the unexamined spiritual life will fall short of what God wants it to be and wants to create in us and what He's planned for us. And we'll end up living life, but will not live up to the fullest. And it's kind of like, and I forgot to ask this person, so I won't mention any names. It's kind of like you get a car and it starts and it gets you from point A to point B and it's wonderful. But you never learn that there's seat warmers in there, and you've missed out on that seat warmer. It's a bummer, because you could have enjoyed that, and the radio and the seat adjust, all those things. You want to get to know that, and the same is true about your relationship with God. God wants to show you. He wants to be able to encourage you. So what I want to do over the next few weeks, probably about 6 weeks, is we're going to work through a spiritual growth assessment process. Whew, that sounds pretty big, doesn't it? A spiritual growth assessment process. And it's really going to ask the questions, where am I right now in some key areas of my life, in my spiritual life, and what can I do to take some steps forward in an area that God is pointing out to me? Take a look at the screen. It's kind of hard to see, but this is an assessment, and there's a backside to that. So you can see there's three areas on this side, there's three areas on the backside. So we're going to take a look at abiding in Christ, living in the Word, praying in faith, fellowship with believers, witness to the world, and minister to others. And I'm going to share in every one of those topics, and I'm going to give you a little handout, and you're going to take it home that week, and you're going to make an assessment. Then next week, we'll do another area. At the end of 6 weeks, you're going to have this assessment about where you are, and we're going to actually talk about how you might, with a friend's help, be held accountable. Don't like that word, do we? Be held accountable to where God might lead you. And at the end of the year, we'll do an assessment again and compare where we are. So next week, we're going to talk about what does it mean to abide in Christ. And if you want to look up John 15, abiding in Christ, other texts, you can do that. I'm very excited about what God can do with us. I think we can have some fun with it. I'm done with physicals for a while, so I'm glad for that. But I'm really grateful for Brad and Cindy to help us out. And let's be praying together as a church that we can grow and become more of who God wants us to be. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you so much for our morning. Thank you that we can sing songs that bring us into your presence, that we can worship you. Thank you that we can be challenged to take steps to grow and to assess where we are, Lord. We do it in all areas of our life. Help us to do it in the most important area with our spiritual life. So what a great journey we can do together as a body of Christ. We love you. We thank you. Would you be with us? Help us to be your hands and feet. And we love you. In your name we pray. Everyone said together, amen. Well, thank you. I want to invite anybody who would like to meet the board members to come back to the teen room. And we'll see you back there. God bless everybody.